Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, good morning, everybody. Today is the anniversary of the Battle of New Orleans.
Oh.
Yeah, it was in 1815. Everybody, you know, the song says in 1814 we took a little trip.
Down to the Mississippi.
1814 worked better for the lyrics of the song. It actually happened in 1815, so it's 210 years ago today.
Wow.
And you know the song I'm talking about?
I know exactly the song.
Everybody knows that song.
In the fifth grade, our teacher, Mr. King, I still remember his name, played the electric guitar, and he taught us, and we'd sing along as he would play that. Yes.
We fired our guns. Yeah, I love it.
And the British kept it coming.
My favorite verse was when we fired our cannon till the barrel melted down, then we grabbed an alligator and we pulled another round.
Yeah.
We filled his head with cannonball and powdered his behind, and when we set the gator off, or when we set the powder off, the gator lost his mind.
Yep.
I love that verse.
Oh, we fired our
cannon. That's the one, yeah. And then the bridge, we ran through the briars and ran through the brambles.
Ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. Ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch us. Imagine what you learn in the fifth grade that just sticks with you.
I know. Well, you still remember the dude's name. That's pretty cool.
I know. Mr. King was pretty awesome. He played that and, another song. I'll think of it in a minute.
I was trying to recall my fifth grade teacher. I remember third grade, Mrs. Robbins.
Yeah.
I remember a few from high school, but I don't remember any other teachers. So
elementary, I remember most of my elementary teachers, I think.
So I had a teacher in high school, taught history. His name was Mr. Bickmore.
Yeah?
And he is giving the keynote address on some sort of historical something in northern Utah this weekend. I actually considered driving up there and surprising Mr. Bickmore. The only problem I think might be, I doubt he remembers me. I mean, if you think about how many students a high school history teacher has over the years.
Yeah, but it's not about him remembering you. It's about him going, oh, my goodness, I made an impact, and this student remembered me and came back.
I suppose.
It's more about that. It really is. Because you're right. They may not remember you, but there are teachers that make an impact. I had Mr. Caldwell, a marketing class in high school, that he was awesome. He was such an awesome guy.
By the way, I'm Andy. That's Steve there. Steve Dunham from the Washington County School
District. Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
We jumped right into things, didn't we?
We did. Teachers do make an impact, and certainly
they do.
There are ones that have had it. You know, there was a lady that I never had a class with her, but she was like advisor for one of the clubs I was in or something, and became really good friends with her. She actually lives in St. George now.
Oh, that's
Mrs.
fun.
Mrs. Sproul. And, she had an impact. And it wasn't, you know, what she taught me in the classroom. It was what she taught me about life. So.
And were you Murray High again?
West Jordan.
West Jordan. Okay, West Jordan.
I had, so freshman year I went to Bingham, and they were building West Jordan. It was done between my freshman and sophomore year. And after I went to the new school, they allowed the juniors and seniors to stay at Bingham if they wanted to. You know, that's pretty common. And so I was starting varsity both ways as a sophomore against these guys that were 2.5. These guys had like full beards, and I could barely peach fuzz it. You know what I'm saying? And we got our butts handed to us for the first year and a half, 2 years. So.
You got run over a few times, I'm sure. Yeah.
That's okay, though.
It is okay.
Life lessons, right?
Life lessons. I always find it hard to find a life lesson when I'm on my backside in the dirt looking up at the sky going, why am I doing this?
I remember that first year we were playing up at Bear River, and their football field was under renovation, and so we played on their rodeo grounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And I remember getting into the backfield. I was chasing the quarterback, who was coincidentally Rod Zundel, the guy that does Utah Tech games. But he saw me out of the corner of his eye rushing in to get him and kind of spun around and doubled back the other way. So the guy, the lineman that I had beaten at the line to get to the quarterback, of course, he didn't quit.
He was there to catch you.
He saw me coming, only I never saw him.
Oh, no.
And he cracked back, blocked me, boom! And I remember laying on the ground, face down on this dirt, because it was the rodeo grounds. And I remember thinking, what is that smell?
Oh, no.
Where am I? And my buddy helped me up. And, of course, these were in the days where if you got a concussion, there was not concussion protocol. It was rub some dirt on it and get back in the game. So I remember my buddy helped me up, and I started walking to the wrong sideline. Because, I mean, I was concussed, clearly.
Yeah.
And
you'd had your bell rung.
Yeah, they took me out of the game, and I went over to the sideline, and we didn't have a trainer. One of the assistant coaches said, "You all right?" I'm like, I guess, I don't know. and he said, "All right, get back in the game." Two or three plays later, I was back out there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Things are a little different nowadays.
Yeah. And now you're in radio because of it.
Well, I probably still have permanent brain damage.
I know, darn it.
Which put me into radio because yeah. I'm going to be really smart to pick this as a life career, I think.
Yeah, something. It is. This is a good career. This is fun.
I love, though, that we started out talking about teachers and the effect. You know, my dad was a lifetime school teacher. Science areas, physics. He taught physics, geology, geography, astronomy, and I thought this was really cool. I wasn't able to go to it, but last Monday, so 2 days ago, actually, he gave what they call them star parties. Have you been to a star party? You know what that
yes.
is?
Yes.
Because he was an astronomy teacher, he has this big giant telescope. It's 6 foot tall. I mean, this telescope is huge.
Yeah.
And he gave for a group of single adults, he gave a star party on Monday night here in St. George. And 89 years old, he's out there giving star parties. I thought it was pretty cool.
That is so amazing. So, yeah. We have a local astronomy professor from Utah Tech who has retired and wanted to donate his telescope. And it is now at Crimson Cliffs High.
Oh, nice.
Helping our astronomy students there. And then we have a science teacher at Sunrise Ridge, Mrs. Gregoire. And they just did their star party, I believe, in December, where they have the kids come out. They have students from Utah Tech come. They set up multiple telescopes at multiple planets, the moon, you name it, and you get to see it all. It's so fun.
Very, very cool stuff. I wanted to talk, and not to leave the subject behind because it's really cool, but I did want to talk a little bit about the economics of running a school district.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about the fires, and for those that haven't heard, there are three separate wildfires burning in Southern California.
Yeah.
The biggest one is in the Pacific Palisades area, which is kind of an upscale, nice, very nice community. In fact, a lot of Hollywood stars live in that area, but the evacuation orders, and they've actually burned down two elementary schools in the area. And Steve and I were talking before we went on the air. What would that do? Because automatically you think, okay, they're insured. They'll just get the new building paid for. But it's not that simple, is it?
It's not. For a school district, for our school, we're typically, I don't know if everybody is, but we are self-insured, which means we have a savings set aside in the event of a catastrophe, of something like that. Now, we have enough set aside that would probably cover two elementaries here in our community. That equates to about one middle school. We do not have enough set aside for a high school. So
if there was a wildfire here in town and it burned down a high school.
Yeah, that would be a real trick.
It would put you guys in a bind.
It would put us in a bind. Now, we'd probably have enough to get the construction started. A high school construction takes about 3 years. And so over that time, we could do some short-term loans in the meantime until we could get everything squared away. I call them loans, but they're really bonds, short-term bonds, where we have a good credit history. We have a great credit rating. We're AAA bond rated as a school district, which is the best you can get. Right. And so that means we get really low rates, but we don't have to do that because we have such a good credit history. So, but yeah, that's what it requires. And so that's Utah cost. I mean, an elementary school here is about $20 to $25 million. That's one elementary school. Yeah. So you
what's
figure
a high school?
If you like a high school, you're looking at $150 to $170 million is the cost of a high school.
Wow!
And so that's why we really rally around Career Tech High, because it didn't cost that much. It doesn't have all those extra facilities that a normal high school has.
Yes. Gymnasium or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that cost us about the same as a middle school, which is about $50 to $60 million. And so that's why it actually cost us less, because at the time we built it, it was $38 million. And now the construction costs have climbed to the point that it's so much. But
So when we hear a story like what we were just talking about in California, and we don't know if California is self-insured or how that all works out there. We have no idea. But if something burned down, something that the school district owns burned down here, you guys kind of have to pay for it yourself. It's not, there's not some nameless, faceless, magic giant insurance company that's going to say, all right, here's $100 million, fix it.
That's right. That's right. We have to pay for it ourselves, and then we'd have to rebuild our savings after that. Wow. And hope that you don't have two horrific years in a row.
Yeah.
Or you know, you'd need several years in between another catastrophe to really build that back up. And so, and again, that, those are Utah prices that I'm quoting. So in California, in the Palisades area, I'm sure those elementaries are going to be upwards of, I would think, double that.
Yeah. Yeah. Property value way more there.
Construction costs way more.
In fact, there's probably some developer that's saying, look, you know, it burned down. Let's do this. Let's build some houses there, and we'll give you some other land for, you know, in a gully somewhere for a school, because that property out there is incredibly expensive.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
So, all right. Are there other costs that with the school district that we don't even think about as a general public? I mean, I know you guys are certainly very proud of the fact that you guys financially have done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But are there other things that maybe the average person doesn't think about cost-wise?
Well, you have the cost of the building, have the cost of the land, and you have site work. So if you have, say, a property that has a lot of hills or a significant grade difference from one end of the property to the other, you have to put in site work, meaning leveling, drainage, all of that, and that can add millions to the cost of a construction. And then when you're done with the building, you have what's called FF&E. Furnitures, fixtures, and equipment. And so you have to get the furniture in, and that can be another significant cost. And so those are all the hard capital costs that come with the construction of a building. Besides, you have the land, site work, the construction costs themselves, change orders when you're doing the construction. Like if you realize halfway in the project, oh, we need to move this to this or add to this, that's a expensive thing. And then again, FF&E, that's what adds into all of that.
Just it's mind blowing the numbers we're talking about too.
I know.
I mean,
and it's just been the last 5 years, it's jumped so high.
Yeah. If you have, it used to be in St. George, and I'm talking maybe 20 years ago, if you had a $150,000 house, that was a pretty nice house.
Yeah.
Now you can't buy a house, even a trailer or something for that.
No.
And I'm guessing if we went back to 2000, building a school was a fraction of what it is now.
Yeah, a quarter acre of land now is, I think, $180,000.
For just the land.
Wow. For just the land, yeah. And so I think that's about the appraised value. Somebody can probably give us the correct figure, but I believe it's in that ballpark.
But still a lot cheaper in California, I guess.
Yes, that's true.
Steve Dunham is the Washington County Communications Specialist and Director. And I thought this was really cool. A couple of years ago, I gotta say a couple, it's been five almost now, four and a half.
Yeah.
My daughter was a Sterling Scholar, and that's one of the things that you get to do is present these Sterling Scholar Awards to these students. And it's an opportunity for you. And you know, as a school district, you have to deal with homelessness. You have to deal with, you know, discipline problems, bullying, you know, the quote-unquote book banning, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That stuff can be difficult, and it can be hard. And as a communications guy, you have to figure out, how do I make it, you know, so that it doesn't sound like we're a bunch of evil, you know.
Yeah.
But then you get things like Sterling Scholar come along, and that's got to change your job. Make you feel better about stuff.
Totally. So that's the reward side of why you get into public education, because you want to make the community better. You want to help children be successful. Mm-hmm. And that's why you get into public education. And so Sterling Scholar is where you take these kids that are really excelling in whatever subject it might be. What was your daughter in again? Dance?
No. You know what? She was a finalist for language arts and for music. And I can't remember. I think music was the one she got.
There you go. And so they're really excelling in these. And Sterling Scholar gives them an opportunity to, on their own, choose to apply, choose to do all this extra work to submit an application, create a video, whatever it might be. And then show how they've done that. And they're judged by these panelists from the community and from throughout the state. And these kids really shine. And what do they get from it? it really is a feel good and attaboy on themselves that they've done, that they've achieved this, and then they can put it on their college resume, you know?
Right.
And that's exciting. Yeah. It is big. It shows that these kids have the gumption, can we still use that word? Sure. Gumption to stick with the project and really, really excel at it. And it's really, I remember I was able to judge 1 year and to see some of the kids from throughout Southern Utah, because we combine with the five other districts when we're doing our region. And so I saw kids from Tropic High. I think it's Tropic High. There's a high school in Tropic. And boy, those kids were so good. I was like, you guys are awesome. It was just fun to see them come from all over the southwest part of the state and see these kids that are, they're the best of the best in what they do.
It's got to feel good to have. So often we see the downside of young people, you know, they don't work very hard, or this kid's, you know, got 11 piercings on his face, or
but that doesn't matter,
whatever, you know. But it's easy for us to go, you know, look and think negative things about them. But it's nice to see that it's nice to be inspired by these young people who work probably harder than we ever did, maybe as adults. So,
you know, it really is, and that's really why teachers do what they do. The reality is teachers aren't paid a tremendous amount. A teacher cannot afford a home on the salary they make in the school district here in our community. And so they have to have multiple jobs or their spouse has to work. So what are they getting from it? They're getting that reward of working with kids and seeing that light go on. And so for me, here's a perfect example. The same day that we had 6 or 7 years ago, the bomb at Pineview High School, that was a horrible day. That was a crappy day. And
my daughter was there. Yeah.
I came back to work from that, and my assistant looked at me and she goes, "Let's go give some teacher grants." And so we were able to go out the very next day and give some money to teachers. And that kind of is like, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, you're making a life or a difference in the lives of these teachers so they can help these students do something exciting and learn and excel. And so I do. I get both ends of the spectrum, where you go from a bomb in a school one day to giving and changing the course of how things are going in a classroom. And that's fun.
And by the way, the bomb never went off. It was
it fizzled.
It fizzled.
But it was an actual bomb.
It was an actual bomb, and the student that was responsible was disciplined and everything. But I know there are probably people listening right now that never heard anything about this.
Yeah.
It was 6 years ago, huh?
It was 2017.
Oh, so.
So seven.
Seven yeah. and a half, yeah.
And, okay. And he lit the fuse, and the fuse went out, but the fuse went to a gasoline bomb that was also had some other items to it. And yeah, and it was more than discipline. He was charged and
well, that's discipline.
Yeah. Yeah.
my daughter actually walked right by that backpack at some point during that time. And when the students were all evacuated onto the football field.
Yep.
And my daughter actually talked to this person who at the time was just trying to blend in and not let anybody know who did it.
Yeah.
So, that whole thing was pretty personal to me, because my beautiful daughter was there. The same one we were talking about, Sterling Scholar, she was there and witnessed all this. And so, but fortunately, no one was harmed.
Yes, fortunately, things fizzled.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
So, talking with Steve Dunham, Washington County School District today.
Did I just take us down the path of a downer? I mean, I didn't mean to. I apologize for that.
No, I mean, I just kind of felt like we needed to recap happened. If we mention it and everybody's like, now what?
What happened?
And it did happen, and it happened here, and it was 6 years ago. And I know the dad of the kid who did this, and he said he's bouncing back. He's trying to, he's figuring life out.
That's good.
But it was tough for a while, and it should have been tough for a while because he did something very dumb.
And, you know, I would like to give another shout out, if I may, because when the principal called me and I rushed right to the school, it was touching to see the response from the community. And when I say the community, all of Washington County, Iron County.
You're as bad as my sister-in-law, by the way.
I know. And Zion National Park. We had law enforcement from Zion
All over northern
Water Canyon, Hilldale.
Yeah.
We had everybody. Everybody came running to help those kids.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Heaven forbid we ever have a school shooter, but it's nice to know that there will be people who want to help.
Yeah. I mean,
people who
That's are the truth.
Willing to run. You know, somebody once said, you know, when there's an emergency, look for the people running toward the emergency. Those are the first responders that are there to help.
Hey, and our community, they do that. They run towards it. They are, they're ready to go, and they're prepared. They've done the trainings. We provide the schools, and they train in them, and they are ready to go. I have full confidence in our law enforcement down here. They are the best of the best. It's hard for me to say I've seen better trained anywhere.
Nice. That actually kind of naturally brings me to ask questions about the Guardian program.
Yeah.
We know the news reports up north said, yeah, they're having a hard time filling the Guardian program. Now, what that is, and I'll let you explain it. Explain what the Guardian program is and how it came to be.
So the new law requires that every...
Requires. That's a very important
yes,
word.
Yes, it is required by law that every single school have somebody that is a guardian in it.
Meaning
they have to be in the school during the time that students are in school, and they have to be armed.
Armed, yes.
And so they are anonymous. They cannot be a teacher, and they cannot be a principal, according to law.
So if your principal is armed or whatever, they can be armed,
they
will not count as one of the guardians.
Exactly, because the law states that essentially, well, it doesn't state, but the explanation was that teachers have their duty, and their duty is to watch over their students. The principal has their duty is to watch over the school. It has to be somebody outside of that. Hmm. So it can be a custodian, it could be a cafeteria worker, it can be another staff worker, but they have to be in the school full time whenever students are in the school. And you can have, if it's only and they have to be an employee of the district. And so it can be a part-time person, but then you have to have two guardians. If you have a part-time person, so it's a part-time person here and a part-time person here, and they are armed, they are trained by the state.
And that's important, too, I think.
Yes, we have our own specialist with the sheriff's office who has taken over this, and they have gone, and with our own district, we have the two guys that work very closely together, and they go through multiple trainings, multiple mental health assessments. They receive a $500 stipend, which is just a one-time stipend.
I was going to say, and by the way, that's all they get.
That's
they don't
all they
get paid every month. They don't get extra money. No.
No. And so that's what it is. And they will be armed. And this is why everybody kind of looks to us. We're fully staffed. And yet it's not required to be implemented until next August. We're fully staffed right now with our guardians. That means we have at least one in every school. And I think the high schools have to have two.
Two, yeah. Compare that with now schools up north.
They're struggling. They're looking for ways that they can pay people to be a part of this. It's a real struggle. And I think that speaks to our community, that the people are saying, hey, not here. We're going to protect.
I like that.
And we're going to step up and help make sure our students are safe and they feel safe.
This is Washington County. This is the spirit of Dixie, right? All right, let's get a commercial break in. We'll check weather and have more with Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. He's Steve. Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District. We were talking old rock and roll.
In between?
During the break there.
Hey, we had a listener. Correct me.
That's right. So the high school in Tropic is?
Bryce Valley.
Bryce Valley, the Mustangs. Yeah, neither one of us had recognized that. So.
And thank you for doing that because, again, I remember some of these kids and they stand out as just such great achievers, and I didn't remember the high school. So I appreciate people calling out and saying, hey, it's actually this. I don't mind that at all. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong.
So here's one. If you are out there listening, have you ever heard, folks, of the band Tora Tora? So I'm going to tell this quick story. When I was a DJ back in my early radio career, back in Logan, I worked for a station called Z104. Our tagline was, from the 60s to the 90s, a history of hits on Z104. And it was rock. I just played rock. And I was the overnight guy. And at 2 a.m., we would shut off the translator for the night. So we would not have a signal from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. when the morning guy came in. So my job was to do my shift, and then at 2 a.m., shut everything down. And as you can imagine, as a young college kid, I'm not talking about 18-year-old, fraternity brat, but I was married. But, I was 21, 22 years old, and I knew the bosses went to bed after midnight. None of the authority.
Nobody was going to catch you.
There was no authority listening to the music after about 12:30. So until I shut off the transmitter at, I said translator, it's transmitter. The transmitter at 2, I pretty much played whatever I wanted, right? And so I had a song that I absolutely loved that I would play at 1:56 a.m. every morning right before I'd shut off the transmitter. And it was a song by Tora Tora called Phantom Rider. And when I tell people this, most of the time they go, who? What? Huh? But so I told you this a minute ago, and you're like, oh, Tora Tora, I had their cassette. I saw them in concert. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Steve, really?
It was part of a three-group tour at the old Coliseum at the Salt Lake Fairgrounds.
Coliseum? Does that exist anymore?
I don't know if it's still. I think it's been torn down.
Yeah.
And it was a small venue, and it was Tora Tora, Danger Danger, and Dangerous Toys. Those three hair bands. And I was there for Danger Danger and Tora Tora. Dangerous Toys was the bigger band at the time, but I didn't care for their songs.
They had like one number one hit, I think, Dangerous Toys.
Yeah, I think you're right. I can't remember it right now.
So you're a hardcore rock fan because those weren't exactly headliners where they had 10 hits each.
No.
They might have had two hits, each of those bands.
Well, some of my favorite hits from that era were one-hit wonders from these hair bands.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
One of my favorites is a group called Junkyard. And it was Hollywood was their song.
Okay, so I was a DJ at the time, and I was hardcore. I never heard of these guys. Sorry, man, you got me.
It was a one-hit wonder that I heard on the old K-Bear. Huh. And you got me thinking about our so I worked at KISS in 97. Uh-huh. KISN, the soft hits of the 70s, 80s, and now were KISSin' 97. And you had to hit the KISSin' 97.
And their claim to fame back when I was in college, KISSin' 97 refused to play Let's Get Physical by Olivia Newton-John because it was too racy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, they were competing with FM 100. Yeah. That was our big competitor at the time.
And see, back then, when I lived up there, FM 100 was easy listening. And so,
We were a bridge a little bit harder than that, but more of the top 40
listening. But I think FM 100 kind of had a little bit of a format change since then, too, because they kind of updated their sound. And they would be a competitor with KISSin', have been in the 90s maybe or beyond. But those were good old radio days. And listening to Rush Limbaugh after I graduated college, or maybe before I graduated college, I got a job delivering produce in early mornings, and I would listen to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
That's how long, you were talking back then, it would have been late 80s, early 90s. Rush Limbaugh was a brand new nationally syndicated radio host, and I just love listening to that dude.
See, the one I worked with was David Locke, and now he has all of his Locked On Sports everywhere.
And
at the time, he was Sports Radio 570, and people would drive by our live remotes and say, all these nasty things. He'd go, thanks for listening. He loved to stir them up. He was funny.
Well, a good old radio friend of mine said, never get too high when they compliment you, and never get too low when they insult you, because the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it is. So, talking with Steve today, and we kind of digressed a little bit and got off of school stuff, but that's fine because Steve and I are old radio buddies, and we both have been in this. Well, you're not in the radio business anymore, but you were.
I was. Yeah. It was a short period of my life, but it was fun.
Yeah. Steve discovered, and this is why Steve is smarter than me, he discovered at an early age that there's no money in radio. Unless you make it to the very, 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 very top.
Unless you're a morning show or in sales.
Yeah, well, even the morning show, not so much.
Really?
I mean, you were talking about, my dad and I actually have discussions about this, the wages of a teacher and how low they are and how a teacher, you know, on a teacher's salary, you can't afford to buy a house. And I'm like, I graduated the same time as my sister-in-law. She graduated in education. I graduated in journalism, and she made more money than me and still makes more money than me. And she gets summers off, and I don't.
There you go.
In fact, I work every holiday and everything, usually in this job. So.
Yeah, but that's because we love to hear your voice, and so we need you. We need our Andy fix.
Well, and I will say this. I'm not saying my job is harder or as hard as theirs. Being a teacher requires a special personality to be a good teacher. And you integrate yourselves into these young people's lives. When you do a regular job, even a radio job, you're not it's not the same thing. You're not investing in yourself as much.
And not every job, but a lot of jobs, you can kind of get onto autopilot. And you become really proficient at what
you're
doing.
There's no autopilot as a teacher.
No, because you have excelling kids, you have struggling kids, and then you have behavior kids. And so between those three, you are constantly juggling, keeping the accelerated kids moving forward, helping the struggling kids catch up, and managing the behaviors in between. And then top that off with sometimes helicopter parents, and it becomes a struggle.
Do you see how he danced around that? It's a politician.
I said helicopter.
Helicopter pay. Yeah, there are some parents out there. So the cartoon, I remember the cartoon that I've seen many times is back when we were in school, if your kid did something wrong, you got called into the principal's office out of work or whatever, and you were mad at your kid. Unfortunately, and the cartoon says, back then and now, you get called into the school because your kid did something wrong, and you're mad at the principal and the teacher. You're not mad at your kid. You're mad at the principal and teacher.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a sad political cartoon and truth.
Yeah.
So, and Steve's not going to say any more about that because he doesn't want to get himself in trouble.
Heavens no. Heavens no. We can move on from that.
We will move on. So, in fact, what we'll do is we'll take a commercial break and finish up. We promise we're going to talk about school stuff when we come back. This is the Andy Griffin Show with Steve Dunham on KDXU.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
We're back. It always cracks me up, Steve. I get, we all have little tasks we have to perform. I've got a quarterly issues report I have to file. It's a pain in my neck anyway. It's 4 hours of my time that I don't have.
Oh,
darn
it.
What I'm saying? But I also got an email yesterday from BMI. That is
the music
industry overlord. Yeah.
Yes.
And they want to know what songs I played on KDXU. Well, I don't know if you know this rule, but if you don't play a song for more than 30 seconds, there's no you're...
I didn't know what the time was, but I knew there was a
30
time.
30 seconds. So, so this song... That song, if I were to play it longer than 30 seconds, we would have to tell BMI that we did it, and we'd have to pay a royalty on it.
Yeah.
So BMI, not only are they the overlords of music, and they badger us talk stations. You didn't play any music, did you? And then if you actually ignore them because we're a talk station and don't play music, they fine you. It's like $10,000. They fine you this big, gigantic fine, and it's kind of ridiculous. But.
So do you have to pay a royalty for the Andy Griffith whistle?
If I whistle it myself, no. That one I play, I just make sure that it's always less than 30 seconds.
Oh, gotcha. So, okay.
Yeah. I don't have to. In fact, some guy threatened to, I'm going to turn you into the music people for playing that song. And I'm like, turn all you want.
We're already there.
I got a
30
second window.
Fees. Yeah.
So anyway, all right. So let's go to the phone line first. And then we got some business. We want to take care of some stuff we want to talk about. So Lisa on line one. Lisa, what's going on?
Well, when we first moved to St. George back in 84, my youngest brother, who I'm his guardian, has Down syndrome. He was 11, and he was small. You know, he looks like about an 8-year-old, and he went to East Elementary. Well, a few years later, when he was 14, they said he had to go with his age-appropriate peers.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted him to go to the middle school. So I went and observed the middle school. Now, granted, this would, he was older than my children that I had started to have. And I was like, well, I'm not putting him in the middle school. Well, he would only be there 1 year or two. So they said he could skip and go to the high school. So we did that. And that was a good experience for him. He
okay.
learned how to flip people off. But he did it when you would do that, if you do that kind of thing. But anyway, it was a good experience. My concern now is there seems to be a trend that parents are holding their more usually sons back a grade, not because they're behind in their skills, but for sports.
Yeah. For athletics, that's yes. True. This is true.
Yeah, for athletics. And some are even doing it 2 years. So here's a freshman driving to practice. Now, it would seem to me if we have those with special abilities or disabilities have to be with age-appropriate peers, wouldn't we do the same for our athletes?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we doing them a disservice by allowing their parents to retain them when there's no true justification?
That's a great question. Thank you.
And that's a great point. And things have changed over the years. In fact, in the past about 15 years, several bills have been passed by the state legislature that have given parents more rights. It's called the Parental Rights in Education Bills. And it allows, I think that's, yeah.
PREB.
Yeah. But it allows parents to make these choices that they feel is best for their child. So we have no say. And so, especially when it comes to athletics, that does happen. That totally does happen.
So here's an example. My oldest son was played football,
mm-hmm.
but he really didn't grow until the year after he graduated. Had I done that,
yeah.
And by the way, he was August 28th was his birthday.
Yeah,
he was the very youngest that
so
you
he's
could
right there on the threshold.
Yeah, you very youngest you could be or. I guess if we had held him back,
he would
have been
the
very oldest.
Yeah,
but we didn't do that because academically he was right where he needed to be.
Yeah,
and but I had many a dad and even some coaches say, "Man, if you had held him back 1 year,
yeah.
and that growth spurt would have come, you know, then like it did when it did." He said, "He would have been quite the athlete." But I just didn't feel as a parent, I didn't feel like that was doing him any kind of service. I think he needed to get on with life. You know, educationally, he was where he needed to be.
And that's the perspective that I hope parents would take is, hey, let's look at athletics as a short period and education is the longer game plan. It's the long plan, you know, and that's what you want to have. But yes, it is different. More of that is happening now than happened in the past, and it's because a lot of these legislative bills have stripped power from the school district. We can't say what happens, and parents have that right to do what they think feel is best for their family, and in most cases, rightly so.
She was saying 2 years. Are their parents holding their kids back 2 years?
I don't know if it's 2 years, and I don't know if that's allowed. But like where your son was on the threshold, parents definitely do it for 1 year.
Hmm.
And that happens quite frequently.
Interesting. We hope. And like I said, I feel like we made the right decision. But, you know, life is funny because who knows what would have happened if I did hold him back 1 year.
Yeah.
And he ended up being a star football player and got a scholarship to play football. We just don't know what would have happened in life, right?
No, exactly.
We never know.
Exactly. And I think your focus is in the right spot of, hey, he's already where he needs to be. Developing mentally with his peers, let's keep that, and then he's going to develop socially with his peers, and that'll be great.
Yeah,
and
he's a great man now. So
yes.
All right. Okay. A couple of things I want to talk about. There's going to be a little bit of the I call it the principal shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different out of necessity because guys are Mike Meese, principal of Pineview. How long has he been principal there?
Quite a few years.
I want to
say about 20 years,
yeah.
But I'm not positive if it's that many.
He's retiring.
Yes, he's retiring. Retirements create these holes where we have to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Brett Gifford
is
the new principal. And I've known Brett for a long time. This goes back to, I don't know how long ago, he was the wrestling head coach.
Oh, wow.
Pineview years ago. And I was a sports writer. And so I would call him on a regular basis to get a story or a quote or whatever about the wrestling team. And then, of course, he went on to be an assistant football coach and an assistant principal. And now, well, and he was a principal, I think, at another school. Wasn't he at middle school?
He was principal at Pineview Middle School, yeah. And now he's been moved up to the high school,
Pineview High,
which opens up the middle school. And the board just approved the transfer of Mandy Luce from Sunrise Ridge Intermediate.
Okay.
She will be the new principal at Pineview Middle. And we have a district administrator. Well, we actually have several district administrators retiring, which opens the door for other principals to apply. And we have the board has selected Susan Hara, principal of Paradise Canyon Elementary, to come into the district office to be one of our executive directors over elementary education.
Nice.
And so all these open, more shuffle things. So it's going to keep happening for several weeks. We try and get this narrowed down as we go through the hiring phase in February. So we are working feverishly to identify, hey, if you're retiring, please let us know now.
Yeah,
so
that we
can
know.
Yeah, so we can get this all done. That way the new principals can get assigned to their new locations and be part of the hiring phase to get their teachers in.
My brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband, is a principal up in northern Utah. I think it's Fremont or one of those schools up there.
Okay.
But they are giving him a lot of pressure. We need to know because this is 30. He's got his 30 years. And they're like, are you or aren't you? And he says it's tough because, you know, you're in the midst of a school. You're in as a principal. You're heavily involved in these, you know, everyday operations of the school and the kids and everything. And he says, like, they're asking me, am I in or am I out? And he says, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
You know?
And you don't want to be distracted with that because his focus is where it should be, yeah, on the students he has. And that's great. And I'm not saying people that announce it now. We do put, from the district, we put a lot of pressure on them to say, hey, let us know so we can plan. And the principals are like, hey, I just want to finish off this school year. And we're like, we'll let you, but let us know.
Yeah. And I've even gotten that. I think everyone does when they, in their careers, when are you going to retire? And I've actually, the boss came in the other day and said, how long are you going to, you know, when's the year? Because he knows my wife she's got her 30 in, in March. And he's like, so are you going to retire too? And I was like, no, but.
He's like, still breathing in and out. I can talk.
He's like, when are you going to retire then? I'm like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And of course, he got that relief look like, I don't have to hire someone, right? So
yeah, good.
But I know I've actually had a couple of listeners ask me, are you talking retirement? It'll be a little while. I'm not retiring anytime soon. So me and Steve will be still talking about hair bands and, you know, 2027 or whatever.
And trying to make it match with school topics.
I don't know. It's a stretch, but we do it.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
It's like this. We were in school when we loved hair bands.
Yeah.
So, therefore, it's a school topic.
I never had the bandanas wrapped around my leg, though.
No, that was weird. And I don't know that I've ever put spandex on myself.
Oh, no.
Unless I was working out or something. But, you know, I had, so we've got a minute left, so I'm going to, this is a quick story. My son, I have one son who, I loved the band Triumph back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, oh, trio, power trio from Canada. Must be Rush. No, it's Triumph. Rush was all right, but I like Triumph better. But anyway, he got a record player for Christmas, my son. And I gave him a couple of albums that I still had. One was Styx and one was something else. And then he found Triumph Stages, which is a concert, a double album, concert album of Triumph. And when I was up there over Christmas, he was playing Triumph on his record player. I was like, man, what is it like, 1982 or something?
That's awesome.
I interviewed one of the guys from one of the bands that, and they're like, yeah, we were kind of cross-dressing, makeup-wearing, big hair guys. And I'm like, maybe you were, but we didn't look at it that way.
I know.
You know, I never thought of them as cross-dressers. It's, they were just,
some of them were out there.
Yeah. Were. Yeah. Yeah. Not Quite Right, the other one.
Twisted Sister?
Dee Snider, yeah. They were pretty close to cross-dressing as you did. And Cinderella.
Cinderella had good songs, though.
They did, yeah. We're out of time.
Gypsy Road, that's among the best.
Yeah. All right, we're out of time. Jimmy Keston walked in. He's like, I know that music. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Mayor Staley on tomorrow.